Welcome, passengers. This is the pre-boarding announcement for the podcast From the Runway Up. Today's flight will introduce you to the world of aviation in East Tennessee. So fasten your safety belts and return your tray tables to their upright position. And in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to our October podcast. This month, we're going to be talking about the air show. Surprise, I know we've talked about that for the past few episodes. But today, we're going to talk more about the community organization that will benefit from proceeds of the air show. We announced last April that Honor Air Knoxville will be the community partner and will receive part of the air show proceeds. And it's very timely that we're talking about Honor Air today because this month they will be taking their 19th flight of veterans to DC to see their memorial built in their honor. So this happens twice a year out of McGee Tyson Airport, and it is just one of our favorite events. And Becky and I could sit here all day and talk about the great works that Honor Air does for our community and our veterans, but we wanted to bring in a special guest to talk to you. Today we have Eddie Manis here with us. He is the founder of Honor Air Knoxville. Well, thank you for joining us today, Eddie. We're really excited about the airport's relationship with Honor Air and the air show coming up in April of 2016. Can you tell us a little bit about Honor Air?
Yeah, I can make this quick. Honor Air was founded here in Knoxville in 2007. And there was a program in North Carolina that started. It was started by a friend of mine. And I flew on his very first flight, I think. And he said, I want you to come over and fly with us and see what you think about this program, because I think it's something you might want to do in Knoxville and East Tennessee. So I traveled over not really knowing what to expect and flew with them. And I was the guardian for 3 World War II veterans. And driving back across 40 coming home, you know, really, this would be a tremendous thing to do for the veterans, at that point, for the World War II veterans. And so I flew with him, and I think it was May, spring 2007, came back, started the conversation, met with Bill here at the airport, met with then Mayor Haslam, and said we would like to do this. Mayor Haslam at that point looked at me like, yeah, good luck, you know.
Yeah.
And so we took that was in the spring of 2007. We took our first flight, I think it was on October 11th, 2007. And so it's just been a great experience, and it's something that I think that this entire community, the entire East Tennessee community, has really gotten around and gotten involved with.
Well, as the airport host for the Honor Air flights, I can tell you the people do get around that project. We do see that as part of their welcome home party when they get here on property. We easily have started out with a few hundred people, and now we have a few thousand people who line up just to kind of say welcome home and thank you for your service. It's one of the most emotional things I think you can see at an airport, and we recommend it to anybody who wants to come out and have that experience. It's a very special time at the airport for sure.
Yeah, the airport has been so cooperative with this program there are some challenges, I know, from the airport's perspective, but you know, the airport has been very supportive from the very first day, and I keep thinking, when is this crowd going to get too large for the airport?
But the last flight, there were people actually outside now. We're going all the way past the roadways.
Yeah, and you know, now with adding Vietnam veterans, mm-hmm. we have no idea what to expect. I mean, I think the crowd will be huge. And so, Caitlin's right, it did go. I mean, we started off just like a few people up in the very front of the fountain, you know, with a few signs. But now it's lined up from right at the top of the fountain all the way out to the upper drive. So it's just.
And one of the things as a parent that I love about it is that when you look at the group of people who are there, there's groups of Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts and young kids. And it's a way for us to show as parents what a veteran is and what it means and the respect that they deserve. And so it's a teaching moment for a lot of people too. It's just really surprising the kind and groups of people that you see here. It's not just the families of the people flying in. It's just people who want to pay respect. It's amazing.
Yeah, Boy Scout. I mean, I just talked to a veteran last week, and he said one of the most memorable moments for me was when I came down, and almost to the very end, there were 3 or 4 Cub Scouts there, and they all saluted me. But we see the same kids flight after flight after 18 flights. I've seen the same kids for 18 flights. Now, they're getting older.
I mean, you know. Yeah. Watch them grow up.
Yeah, but it teaches them a sense, and I've talked to parents, a sense of patriotism, mm-hmm. and really what this is all about, what service to our country is really all about.
And there aren't a lot of opportunities to do that.
No.
So very it's very unique. Very unique. Well, we've kind of laid the groundwork for it. Obviously, there's a direct connection between the airport and Honor Air for the program, but it's a natural selection for us to be a part of the air show together and have some of the proceeds from that air show benefit the Honor Air program.
It's just a natural fit because so much of military is air. I mean, maybe not, well, yeah, even in World War II, a lot of it was in the air. And so I think that veterans are really impacted. They'll be very excited about the air show, and I think it will. The air show attendance will draw a lot of veterans from all over, and I'm hoping it draws a lot of veterans from all over. So Honor Air is excited about, you know, playing a part in the air show and then being one of the benefactors of the proceeds.
Well, the next Honor Air flight is in October, but there's a follow-up to that around the air show time frame, isn't
Absolutely.
There?
Absolutely. Around air show time will be our 20th flight. We are taking our 19th flight on October 7th, and then our April flight will be probably the second Wednesday, so it could be really close.
Week or two,
Yeah, it'll be really close to air show time.
Well, that'll be quite a week to come to McGee Tyson Airport, won't it?
It will. And so a portion of the proceeds from the air show will go to Honor Air. Do you kind of know what you're thinking about using those proceeds for?
Sure. I mean, every penny that Honor Air gets goes to fly veterans to D.C. So it will go directly to make sure we can continue to fly veterans and more veterans. And it will help sustain the program. People say, how long will the program go? You know, as long as the community and the air show and the airport support Honor Air, it will continue to go on. So, but it will go directly towards flying veterans to D.C.
That's great. And this is the 19th flight. How many veterans after this flight will have flown to D.C.?
Yeah, I think, you know, I always tend to inflate this number by just a few. You know, I think it's somewhere around 2,300 we will have flown after this flight. So that doesn't count the Nashville flight. We helped Nashville start their flight a few years ago and so did their inaugural flight. But out of Knoxville, we will have flown over 2,300 World War II, Korean, and now Vietnam veterans.
That's great. Well, you mentioned different cities that have these types of programs. How many of them are across the country?
Yeah, I haven't looked recently to see how many programs there are across the country similar to this. At one point, there were 30 or 35 across the country. We might have now here in Knoxville and at the Knoxville Airport one of the longest running programs still in effect. I mean, like I said, we started in 2007 and now with 19 flights. There may be one or two that are kind of right there with us, but a lot of them have ceased operations and they don't operate anymore. So I think we may have one of the longest running programs in the country.
Do you think that's an indication of the type of support our community places on programs like this?
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt in my mind that, you know, as kind of the founder of it, I mean, I know that if the community support had not been there all the way around, and it's not just financial, but if the community support and the excitement had not been there, it can be a pretty challenging program trying to get it all together and keep it all going. And so, but the excitement from the community and definitely the excitement from the veterans and the appreciation from the veterans certainly make it worthwhile. So, but it really does help knowing that the community supports the program and supports the veterans.
Well, that's good. Well, you've done this a lot now. Do you have some stories that stick out? Is there one in particular that's your favorite story about the program?
Where would you like for me to start?
How much time do we have?
There's so many. I can tell you a funny story, and then I'll tell you kind of a moving story. I think it was the second flight. Dr. Piper, who was a Blount County resident, flew with us, and he came to the airport in a wheelchair that morning. I didn't realize that, but I saw the video. We get to D.C., and that's when we were doing, I think we did World War II first. We went on to Korea and Vietnam. We have a really tight system on knowing who's where, and so we got back on the bus at Korea, and we couldn't find Dr. Piper. And we were on the radios, and every veteran has an emergency tag behind their name tag. And so lots of people in D.C. know that. So I got a call on my phone right as I was starting to panic and said, Dr. Piper is at the World War II Memorial. And I got a little upset because I thought maybe his guardian had left him, which is just, I mean, it would be the first that that's ever happened. So we took off running back to the World War II Memorial from Korea and Vietnam. And we got over there, and when I got up to him, he had walked from the Korean Memorial all the way back to World War II.
Oh my goodness.
And he came to the airport that morning in a wheelchair and walked all the way back there. When I got to him, he said, "Eddie, if I wasn't so embarrassed, I would tell you that I've had so much fun because I've had my picture made with more pretty women." And so they were all just kind of in awe of him. And so he had had his picture made a lot. And the only thing I said to him was, "Dr. Piper, I'm glad that we found you. And did your mother ever tell you that pretty women get you in trouble?" So that was, you know, so that was just one of those things. And I think it is that inspiration that people can come in wheelchairs and they come on oxygen. But there's a sense of pride when they get to D.C. and they get with people they fought with. I mean, and that's just one story. But I can tell you multiple stories on guys come and they can hardly walk. And then that afternoon, they're walking around straight, you know. And so, and they're with oxygen. They don't take their oxygen. But a quick story, there was a guy in Greenback who traveled with us. And John Becker went with us on this flight. And this veteran was reunited with a gentleman he fought with in World War II, was in the foxhole with. The guy lived in Virginia, and they just happened to be there at the same time. Now, they knew that, the guy in Virginia knew that our veteran was coming, and so they reunited there for the first time since they were in the foxhole together.
Oh, my goodness.
They were attacked. These two gentlemen, one was injured, one was not injured, and the third guy, their third counterpart in the foxhole, was shot and killed. And they, at that point, they were separated and taken to for medical attention. And they had not seen each other again until they reunited at the World War II Memorial.
Oh, my goodness.
And so they sat and cried and kind of reminisced on what happened during that time. And literally, you saw two men, they're probably 90 years old at that point, sit and cry and tell each other how much they loved each other and what they meant to them. So, and that's, again, just another one. I mean, you know, we've had people reunite at the gate here at the Knoxville Airport. They fall side by side, live, you know, close in close proximity to each other, and they haven't seen each other since they left the war. But they lived this close, and they reunited at the gate as we are getting ready to go on the flight.
Such an amazing program.
There's story after story after story. There's always a different story on every flight, and so it is an amazing program.
Well, and for us at the airport, we have a program called the Aviation Academy.
Right.
And one of the gentlemen who went through our academy he's been the oldest member going through the academy. He's in his early 80s at the time. And Mr. Hood had been in military service, and he learned about the Honor Air program while he came out as part of the Aviation Academy. And he went on one of your flights recently, and so hopefully we'll get to talk to him about his experience. But he immediately came home and shared every bit of the flight, his story. He sat down for a very long time with Caitlin and talked about just how, as from a veteran's perspective, it's an amazing experience. It's life-changing. I think he even used that terminology when he was explaining just the day. It's one day, but it was something that has made a mark on him that he'll remember forever.
We hear life-changing a lot. And at first, I used to say that word, and I thought, that's a little extreme. It's a little, you know, overly dramatic. But I don't think so now. I mean, because we do hear it from veterans. But interesting enough, we hear it from just volunteer escorts that just go to support these men and women, how life-changing it is for them. And I think it continues to be life-changing for the men and women and children who come back to the welcome home here at the airport.
It really is a very significant program, and we appreciate you being with us today and talking about it and being a part of the Air Show program. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
It's an honor to be here, and we're excited about the Air Show that's coming up, and we're grateful for the partnership with Honor Air Knoxville.
Well, I have one more question.
Okay.
So for our listeners that maybe are interested in becoming involved, you said you started as a guardian. How do you become a guardian for one of these flights?
Yeah, that information is all on our website at honorairknoxville.com. And, you know, I will say, obviously, we do have a long list of guardians because there are a lot of people that want to go. Guardians do pay. There's a fee. We ask guardians to make a contribution, because I still always want to remain that every dollar we collect goes to support veterans to take them there. So guardians do pay their own way, but if anyone is interested, the guardian application is on our website.
Perfect. I think that's something I would love to do. So I'll have to fill that out.
It would be an experience. It would be a life-changing experience.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Podcast listeners, Please take your seats and prepare for landing.
Well, we thank you for listening to our podcast. We hope you enjoyed our special guest, and we strongly encourage you to come out to McGee Tyson Airport for the Welcome Home celebration on October 7th. The veterans normally arrive around 8 o'clock, but like we mentioned, if you want to get a good spot, you'll need to get here a little bit earlier. But I promise that Welcome Home celebration will be an experience you won't forget. Thanks again for listening.